Well, what is remembrance? The act of remembering and showing respect for someone who has died, or remembering a past event? You'd always like to try to remember to take something with you when you go out. What I try to do is to leave the thing by the front door, so I'm going to trip over it as I leave, and I can make sure I can pick it up and take it with me. At least I might see it that way. Perhaps you might put a knot in your handkerchief. Ever tried that? And one day you pull your handkerchief out and there's these four knots there, and you think, what was that all about? We all need aids to memory, but some things are more than just an aid. Perhaps a wedding ring, it can remind you of a past event, a promise, or an occasion. When a particularly significant building is put up, a stone is sometimes embedded into one of the walls, and it may say this stone was laid by somebody or other. This would affirm their involvement and that they support the purpose of the building. This one is a foundation stone laid by Queen Victoria and Prince Albert for St Mildred's Church in Whippingham. The bread and wine that we had earlier was an aid to remind us of Jesus' body and blood. A gravestone is a memorial to someone who has died. Here's some examples of some gravestone inscriptions. In loving memory, loved and remembered. Some like to add a poem, a verse or a short phrase to illustrate the character or the belief of the person who passed away. For example, Spike Milligan's epitaph, "I told you I was ill," and that's written in Gaelic on his tombstone in East Sussex. Apparently it took some while to have that put on there. I think the people that owned the graveyard objected slightly, but it's in Gaelic. For some, they like to have a brief verse from the Bible. "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's Psalm 23, verse 6. And it speaks about their certain hope of being with Jesus. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. As the Bible teaches that all are sinners, this can only happen if they have asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. I've also seen this quote as well. "In the sure and certain hope of the resurrection." Sounds like a really good one, doesn't it? And I used to wonder where this scripture was, but I can't find it anywhere. But then I discovered that the phrase comes from the Book of Common Prayer. And although it isn't a quote from the Bible, what it has to say can be found in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says this: "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Our sure and certain hope is that Jesus died and rose again, and because of this, we who trust in Jesus will also be resurrected. The person laid there is looking forward to the resurrection of their body when Jesus comes again. This time of year, we remember on Armistice Day those who died in various wars and also in the First World War. The armistice was an agreement to end the fighting of the First World War as a prelude to peace, and it began at 11 a.m. on the 11th of November 1918. That's why we have a 2-minute silence on the 11th day of the 11th month at 11 a.m, something we also did earlier. In those wars, many paid the price with their own lives to keep peace and safety for us and many others. Soldiers go into very dangerous situations, and we can see a lot of pain and suffering and death, and they can need help. SASRA, the Soldiers and Airmen Scripture Readers Association, are a group of people who work in the armed forces to support service personnel pastorally and spiritually. And they welcome the opportunity to introduce soldiers to a practical experience of the Christian faith. And they have been doing this for 184 years. So here is a video by SASRA. Some of the Army Scripture Readers talk about remembrance and the sacrifice that has been made, and that they continue to make. the soldiers need to know that there is hope.
Hello and welcome. SASRA is the Soldiers and Aviators Scripture Readers Association and has been bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life and death and resurrection, to the armed forces for now nearly 200 years. My name is Phil Parker and I'm SASRA's Ministry Director, and I'm here today in Brookwood Cemetery, surrounded by the graves of hundreds and thousands of men and women who have given their lives in conflicts in the past. Along with two of our scripture readers, both veterans and now back serving with the British Army and Royal Air Force, bringing the wonderful good news of Jesus to our current military personnel. We're here today to pay our respects to those many in the past who've laid down their lives to defend our country and our freedoms, but also to remember our current serving personnel, the young people of our armed forces, who potentially could face that same sacrifice. And also for us to remember that we have a responsibility to ensure that they hear the good news of Jesus Christ as they serve today and continue to protect us.
So I'm Mike Blackstock, and I am based at the home of the British Army in Aldershot. And this Remembrance Day, I will be on camp. That would be Gibraltar Barracks, the engineers, and I will be part of their service on the day. The military prepare both guys and girls would prepare them militarily. But where SASRA comes into place and our role as scripture readers is to prepare them spiritually. You know, instilling the truth that we're all gonna pass from this life, and we will all face eternity. You know, where you want to be is with the Lord for eternity. And that's the hope that we offer. Is beyond this life, there is the hope of eternal life with the Lord.
My name's Steve Curley, and I'm the Air Force Scripture Reader to RAF Brize Norton. For me personally, Remembrance Day is an opportunity to honour and remember those that have gone before. But it also has me thinking about brotherhood. I think of the words of Jesus where he says, there's no greater love than this, to lay your life down for your friends. And when I think of those that have gone before, I think about my own peers, I think about the people that I engage with. The commonality amongst all of those that I've engaged with is that when people are laying their lives down and they are fighting, they're fighting for each other. Yes, we join the army to fight for our country and for King and for the flag, but when all's said and done and it's on the ground, you're fighting for the person left and right with you. And that gets me really reflecting on, it would be a travesty if these men and women didn't know about Christ and what he did for them, being the ultimate big brother. You know, Jesus says that there's no greater love than to lay your life down. He did that for them, and it'd be a travesty if they did it for their country and didn't realise that Jesus had done it for them. So I think remembrance for me is an opportunity to look back and remember. But in Christ, it gives us a confident hope and expectation looking forward. And that's a hope that I would like to share with every serving member of the military that I meet. I spent 16 years in the Royal Engineers prior to becoming a full-time scripture reader. During my time in the military, I encountered scripture readers myself that were able to offer me support spiritually in my role. Having someone who had served while I was a serving soldier, having someone who had served and was working in ministry work such as SASRA actually carried a lot of weight. They were able to bring an empathy and a rapport that no one else could, because they understood the value of what we did and they understood the complex nature of the role, and that was invaluable at that time. And I remember engaging with a scripture reader and seeing the value of the work that they did, which ultimately played a part in me being in this role today.
We are living in very uncertain days with war and rumors of war. And that makes the need even greater for us, scripture readers, you know, getting that message of hope across, that you know, there is eternity beyond the grave. And just helping them to realize that and to put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to give them that eternal life. So our work is really important in these troublesome days that we live in.
Around the UK today, we're gathering with hundreds and thousands of others who are wanting to remember the sacrifices that so many have made for us in days gone by to protect our country and our freedoms, and to support in any way we can the current generation of military personnel who may in the days ahead be asked to face that same sacrifice. If you'd like to pray for the men and women who work for SASRA or donate to its work, please do visit our website at www.sasra.org.uk. Thank you very much indeed.
Some of the questions that serving personnel may have: where are you going? Where do you want to be? What is your hope? It would be travesty if those that go out to serve do not know Christ as their Saviour, as one of those people just said a moment ago. I want to continue the thought about remembrance by looking at Joshua and the time when the people of Israel entered the Promised Land. God speaks to Joshua and says, and tells him to have the Ark of the Covenant lifted up by the priests and to be taken to the centre of the River Jordan. The Israelites must have wondered how they're going to get across. Could Joshua make a way through the river as Moses did? Well, actually, God did that. Instead, God does something different. As the priests descend the bank of the river, the water level goes down, finally disappearing altogether as they reach the middle. This means that for all those waiting on the bank of the river can cross all together and no enemy will be able to stop them. This is a great and wonderful thing to happen. But how are they going to remember it? We're going to have a reading now from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Judy's going to read it. Thank you.
If you've picked up one of the Bethany Bibles, you'll find the reading on page 218. It's Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day.
Thank you. So, Joshua's remembrance. The 12-stone memorial on the west bank of the Jordan was a picture of being saved from the waters of judgment. God instructed 12 men, one from each tribe, to take a stone from the middle of the riverbed. Water often speaks of judgment. The 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel, set up on the riverbank, speak of God's action in saving them from judgment and would be a sign forever to them. Remember that God said of the original Israelites that left Egypt that they would never enter the promised land because of their faithlessness and unbelief. They all died in the wilderness, and only their children went on to the promised land. So the stones set up by the river were to remind them of how God brought them from Egypt to the promised land. What memorials do we have? Cenotaph. It means empty tomb, and it symbolizes the terrible losses suffered during the First World War and is dedicated to the glorious dead. There are no names engraved on the cenotaph, which allowed individuals to assign their own meaning to the memorial. It also provided a tangible place of mourning for those whose husbands, sons, brothers, friends and relations died during the war without a known grave. This symbolism also resonates through the introduction of the 2-minute silence on Armistice Day and the interment of the unknown warrior. Armistice is Latin for to stand still arms. In other words, the rifle would be put down at the side of a person. To this day, we mark Armistice Day around the United Kingdom with a 2-minute silence. In the UK, we also remember this on Sunday, close to the 11th. There are other memorials too. We also have the memorial of Jesus in his death. We may think of the cross on which Jesus died. It's empty now. Jesus was taken off the cross. The tomb in which the body of Jesus was laid was a borrowed one. That also became empty. But we do have a memorial of Jesus. Every Sunday all over the world, Christians, where they are free to do so, remember Jesus in the way that he asks them to. It is simply by eating a piece of bread, remembering his body given for us, and the wine to remember his blood shed for us. In the Old Testament, the shedding of the lamb's blood was part of the sacrifice to cleanse people of their sin. So the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The lamb was sacrificed on an altar. It died for someone's sin. Jesus' death was for all our sin. Our eating bread and drinking wine is in memory of Jesus. And this isn't a memorial to a dead person, because 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He is now in heaven as our intercessor and is waiting to come back again. But until he comes again, we do this. This is the question. When Jesus comes to call all who belong to him, who will be there? Have you by faith accepted Jesus as your Saviour? Do we have a sure and certain hope? I hope you do.